Showtime.
Welcome to the BS Show. I'm Bob Sansevier, joined by my Schreiducer, Tom Schreier, ColdOmaha.com.
Woo-hoo.
Got the new skins on yet?
Yeah, we're reskinned.
Oh, I haven't looked at it yet. I got to take a look.
Yeah.
It's a new look, new design of ColdOmaha.com.
Yep.
Check it out. Mike Gelfand will be a regular with ColdOmaha.com.
He's getting his own tab.
We're working
on it right now.
Stretch, Mike Gelfand, what are you calling it?
Yeah, I think we're going Gelfand. That was his preference.
Whatever he wants.
A lot of March Madness. He's going to do a lot of gambling with it.
You got to keep Mike happy. I want to say thank you to Tom Bernard, the Tom Bernard Podcast Network, for inviting us to be part of the network. Also, thank you to our sponsors. They include Bradshaw and Bryant, always seeking justice for the injured, at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. SmartStart MN Ignition Interlock System. If you or someone you know is dealing with a DUI, go to SmartStartMN.com. They'll get you back on the road seamlessly. Chanticleer Pizza will be there March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, broadcasting from the Coon Rapids location. Solidarity Health Share. The Relax the Back Store in Burnsville. Great place to go if you need a chair or something to help your back. Even if you don't need help, they're great chairs. Thomas Brand Homes, Dan Garrell from the Minnesota Bank and Trust Mortgage Team. If you're in need of a mortgage or refinancing, or know someone who is, give Dan a call, 952-841-9346, 952-841-9346. And, of course, MyPillow, MyPillow.com. Go to the radio listener page, use the promo code TheBSShow, and get MyPillow's four-pack special. Two of their MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, all for 40% off. We are joined. My God, we are full today. Kevin Cusick, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, at the loop now. Brian Miller, funny man, movie critic, at Real Brian Miller, on Twitter. Brian Miller, comedy.com. Huh? Did I get it right?
Nailed them all?
And that's without even having notes. I'd better get it by now.
You're really good at that reading thing now.
No, I'm not.
Is this a pivot?
We have business and leisure attorney extraordinaire, Jeff O'Brien. Thank you again to Jeff for inviting my wife and daughter to the NFL Alumni Gala. They had a great time.
And it was a fun night.
I called up my on Facebook, and it looked like they shopped together. Mary claimed they went to separate stores and didn't know.
Yeah, they look like twins.
Mary got a hell of a deal on hers. She'll be using that for horse shows.
That happens a lot of time when I go out to dinner with my mom.
They dress alike.
It just don't matter. It's similar tastes.
And Andrew Schmidt from the Minnesota Beer Activists.
Yes, sir.
So you all worked up over, all excited about being able to go buy beer on Sundays?
I'm excited to have that liberty, as it were, when the bill finally gets its signature.
Well, we're going to talk a lot more about that, but the one I'll tell you now and I'll tell you again later. Now, Brian, are you a booze hound?
Yeah.
Big time.
Do you remember him after the election?
No, I was going to ask.
You remember when I was drunk on the show?
It was sort of a rhetorical question.
But before it started. One of the ones during, but rather.
He was raising a glass of cheer toward Hillary's big victory.
Oh, God.
And then it didn't quite go. But here, tell all your beer friends. Jeff, you've got a bunch of clients, too. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't affect them, though, right?
The brewery clients?
Yeah.
Well, yes and no. I mean, this Sunday sales ban was, you know, we talked about in election terms about the Democrats' wall of all those states that Trump won. Sunday sales ban was the blue wall for the liquor cartel in this state. There's a lot of stupid laws still on the books.
Liquor cartel.
That if they could keep this one in place, the stupidest of them all, they could keep the other one. So I've got a whole checklist of things that would benefit my clients that the Brewers Guild and the Distillers Guild and the Cider Guild will all be going up to the Capitol in the years to come trying to take out further pieces.
He's
going to
get another whole book out of it.
Yeah. Probably.
Sunday sales.
That's right. He's got the book coming out next year. Now, Andrew, the thing, if you know, you know a lot of liquor owners. Do you have a store yourself?
No, I do not. I'm just a consumer.
All right. Well, what I would recommend to the liquor stores, particularly the ones who don't want to be open on Sunday, the first couple of weeks, be open on Sunday, because that's going to be where you're raking in the dough. I think if people will just, after it's been open once or, you know, one or two Sundays, people are just going to fall into the rhythm of getting it when they normally do, and I don't think Sunday would be big, but you need to be open at least that very first Sunday.
Yeah, you know, the studies we've seen is that Sunday is the, if not the, the second busiest, one or two shopping days of the week. So, you know, we'll see how it all works out. 38 other states have allowed it, so I'm sure things will work out just fine.
The most important thing is that it's open, that you're open Sundays during football season, so when the Vikings screw up the first half and you've drank your entire six-pack, you can get to the liquor store and reload.
Yeah, why don't we get rid of Blair Walsh, then get Sunday sales? Sunday sales
Blair, Walsh. Blair Walsh actually deserves some credit, I believe, in passing Sunday sales.
I think that was part of the floor debate. Someone mentioned about, you know, having to watch Vikings games on Sundays without alcohol. We
now,
plan ahead.
Will the beer lobbyists got this now be lobbying not to have Sunday car sales because then fewer people may go to the liquor store?
you know, the whole
you ever thought that one out, have you?
You know, I have always said, and you know, you've had Doug on here before, and you know, from Walzer, and I think the car dealerships being closed on Sundays actually is a benefit to consumers. I have gone onto car lots on Sundays just to look at a particular car without having to be bothered by a salesperson.
Yeah.
And then I go back and talk to a salesperson the next time. So I think that actually benefits the consumer having it shut.
Here's the strongest argument for the car dealers not wanting to do it and why you can't get financing on Sunday. Now, you could say, wait till Monday, but then you still have to go back and go through that process.
If you have to get financing for your liquor purchase, you've got other issues.
They'll work it out. Believe me, if there's an opportunity for car dealers to make money on Sunday, they'll figure out the finance,
but
they do it in other places.
Yeah, but I think that they would find, because they're not going to have their shop open. You know, they have to have a salesperson. They have to have somebody for finance. They have to have somebody clean the car up for you and get it all gussied up. So they are going to have – it's a lot of people you have to have on. We need to take a quick break because we have a very special guest, the founder and inventor, and you probably – if you watch Shark Tank, you saw him there. Bobby Edwards, the inventor of – what I consider the greatest invention since sliced bread.
you almost went my pillow there.
And also, what's that?
You almost created a new product there, the Squatty Potty Pillow.
Oh, yeah. It's a great product, but you can only use it once.
Oh, gross.
But Squatty Potty. I'll tell this guy, too. That's what White Mary got on Valentine's Day was a Squatty Potty. I've used it. Because, we share everything. Anyway, we'll be right back with Squatty Potty owner-founder, Bobby Edwards.
Justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan at Bradshaw and Bryant. Most of the time, you don't need a lawyer. But there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw and Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw and Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk to Bradshaw and Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. It won't cost you anything. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw and Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. Bradshaw and Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights. Be an advocate for you and see that you're treated fairly. So if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw and Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. Smart Start MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a Smart Start Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The Smart Start Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a Smart Start system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. Smart Start now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. Smart Start has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. Smart Start has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and Smart Start representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at Smart Start know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring. And they can answer all your questions. Smart Start is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to smartstartmn.com. That's smartstartmn.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI.
If you're looking to help an aching back or looking for comfort, or maybe both, you need to visit the Relax the Back store in Burnsville. They have something for everybody. 8 models of massage chairs, 0 gravity recliners with the manufacturer's promotion that will save you a lot of money, Tempur-Pedic beds for a more restful and relaxing sleep. The Relax the Back store offers 0% financing for 48 months on approved credit. You will find them in the Burnsville Marketplace or online at relaxtheback.com. Or just give them a call at 952-641-6111. That's 952-641-6111. The Relax the Back store. Check it out.
We are back.
I'll tell you a story.
Kevin Cusick. I'm going to tell you a story in a moment, too. Brian Miller. Funny man, movie critic, all of the above. At Real Brian Miller. Business and Leisure Attorney, Jeff O'Brien. Andrew Schmidt, any relation to the brewery?
Not, sir. No, not at all.
From the Minnesota Beer Alliance. And we are joined by the owner slash founder of what I consider the greatest invention to slice bread. And thanks to this invention, sliced bread goes through you a lot easier. The inventor, founder of Squatty Potty, Bobby Edwards. Bobby, thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great, thanks. You know, let me tell you how I used and found out. I'd heard of Squatty Potty, but at the studio we use, there's a public bathroom, and somebody left a Squatty Potty under the toilet because, mm-hmm. you know, he probably liked it. He brought one here. And I tried it, and I think that I voided stuff that had been there since I was 12. I'm a huge fan of Squatty Potty. Such a fan that one of the gifts my wife got for Valentine's Day was a Squatty Potty.
Right, and it's a great gift. You know, the gift of good elimination.
Now, somebody told me that with some Squatty Potties you get a tiara. Now, my wife didn't get a tiara, so she's a little upset about that. Do you actually put tiaras with some of the Squatty Potties, or was somebody making that up?
Well, you know, if you order from SquattyPotty.com, which is our website, you get a crown, and you get a pin, and you get a little button. You get, you know, poop today button. But if you order at Bed Bath, or if you get it at, you know,
Target.
You don't get those.
Yeah, I got it at Target. Man, bastards at Target. I'm going to have to go in and demand my tiara. Now, the one thing that I also learned about it, the thing does work. And once you find the sweet spot, it works. You know, it works just perfectly. And I did that. I guess I was a natural because it worked out just fine. And I'm just a huge fan. How did when you and your mom did Shark Tank, right? Were you making it and selling it before then, or was that what really launched it?
Yeah, we were. We'd actually had, you know, we'd actually sold about $6 million worth of Squatty Potties before Shark Tank. But we had sold a lot online. You know, we had a good online marketing team, and we were able to, you know, sell online. But as I was trying to get into retail space, the retail buyers would look at me and go, "It's a what?" You know, they didn't get it. They were. You know, confused by it. They didn't know where to fit in their store. They thought our customers would be offended by it. I got all these excuses for why they didn't, you know, want to put it in. And I said, no, it's a really good product. It, you know, it does this, explains what it does and how it works. And they said no, you know. And I knew it would do good in retail space. But it wasn't until after Shark Tank, you know, so I was like, well, how do we solve this problem? Let's go on national television to the sharks and let them know our plight. And that's why we went on Shark Tank, so we could get some retail business.
Well, you know, one problem is at Target, I had to go to a second person because the first person said, we don't have it. And I said, yeah, you do. And then second guy said, well, I don't think we carry it. And I said, well, yeah, you do. And then he looked it up, and he said, oh, yeah, we do. And then it took him a few spots to find it because they don't know what department that they wind up putting it in. So that's something that you need to work with them on that. Now, what I'm curious about is Squatty Potty is the name you picked. What names made the finals and didn't quite get picked?
Oh,
that was fun, you know. Of course, it was before it was a Squatty Potty. It was called the Poop Stool. That's what my mom called it.
That's the redundant, by the way.
The shit shelf.
The shit shelf.
That's
shit shelf,
amazing.
The go stool. We had, you know, we had all sorts. There's all sorts of puns for it, but we landed on Squatty Potty because my mom went to China, And over there, that's what they called the squat toilets, the holes in the ground. The people that spoke English called them squatty potty. And she loved it. She goes, this is what we've got to call it. The name for my poop stool is squatty potty. So that kind of stuck.
It absolutely was a hell of a choice. Now, I always thought, you use Twitter, right? Bobby, you're familiar with it, obviously.
Yes.
I always thought I wanted to come up with an app that you use when you're using your squatty potty and call it shitter. you only use it when you're using the squatty potty. Maybe you could do some sort of a crossover. Now, Bobby, I also wanted to. I have a idea for you that you, now that you're in stores, you don't need. This will get you in places like Office Max and some of the staples. But all you have to do is wet my beak a little bit afterward, and I've got witnesses here to know. You need to do a squatty potty that is collapsible, and you could do it with hinges so that guys and women could put it in their briefcases and travel with it.
Hey, we're already on it.
Come on!
Release that. Yeah, it's the Tortoise Squatty.
It's called the what?
It's at squattypotty.com. Ben Bass will be on at squattypotty.com. It's the Tortoise Squatty.
You already have it?
Yeah, it'll fit in your backpack.
Are you using hinges?
Does it come in salted caramel?
Well, then, you know what? Never mind. You don't have to wet my beak. You already came up with a damn idea.
I got a question for Bobby. Okay, Bobby, so you've aced the deuce, basically. You've mastered this part, right? So I need you to get all your creative minds on solving what happens for that last little bit of pee dribble that makes an ant run down your left leg. I feel like you're the man for this job.
Oh, God.
Are you up for it, Bobby?
Silence.
Because
he's thinking.
He's doing math. He's figuring out the parabola.
You didn't hear what he said?
No, I didn't hear what he said.
Oh, well, tell him. He's turned up, right?
Yeah, he's turned up.
All right, just tell him again.
No, I need you to get on some sort of invention that'll help to catch that little bit of inevitable pee dribble that runs down your leg. You know, it does the Shawshank Redemption down your jeans, heading for your sock toward glory, every time.
I'm a bit disappointed. I shop at Target regularly, and I think that there's a real missed opportunity to try a product. I've been in the restrooms in Target. I don't know why I don't have these set up in every stall.
That's a great idea.
I'd never get to try one.
Considering how much press Target has had as of their bathrooms, they might have wanted to put a few squatty potties in there to test them out.
But you know what? And that's the other thing, Bobby. What you need to do is, so people don't have to drill it themselves, put a hole there so they can chain it to the toilet for these public restrooms.
Or in the airport so that when congressmen come through.
Yes! Larry Craig's going to need a wider squatty potty.
They can tap their neighbor's squatty potty.
They have an app for that. It's called Grindr, I think.
That's right.
Larry Craig's got an extra wide squatty potty.
Oh,
but anyway, if you decide to put a... This doesn't work quite as much with wetting my beak, but if you put a hole in it, don't forget me. But it was tempting to take the one out of the public bathroom. Although it's hard to hide it.
Yeah,
when
if you're
going to
steal a squatty potty from a public restroom, good on you. Good on you. You know what?
Plot to Die Hard 5 right there.
Yeah.
Selfie!
So, Bobby, what other inventions are on the docket that you're trying to... where else are you trying to go?
Well, so we're improving the bidet, which is often the product that people kind of cringe when they think about. But bidets are awesome, and it's something that Americans don't use and should be using. But the problem is they're several hundred dollars. We've got a new bidet coming out this year that's incredible, that's awesome, easy to hook up to your toilet, cleans your butt, and then you can control the stream with a little joystick, so you get. We're calling it the Joystick 360, so it'll really clean your butt.
Well,
and then other products, we've got. It's just all about making the bathroom experience better, right? I mean, there's been so much taboo, and people are afraid to talk about the bathroom experience. At least some people are. And we're kind of saying, hey, look, this is you spend a lot of time in here. You might as well make it as comfortable and healthy as possible. So, there's other products that make the bathroom experience better, and we're developing them and releasing them.
Well, let me give you it's good releasing. I like you work those in when you can. I do suggest, if you haven't already, you need a parental control on the bidet, because we had a bidet for 18 years in the house we had, and every one of my kids would go in and turn it on, and I knew it because the water would be dripping from the ceiling.
Right. They would turn them full blast.
Hey, you know, that's a good idea, parental control. I will, because I know they'll be using it as a drinking fountain or something, right?
Oh, well, God. They just were fascinated. Oh, but yeah, that would be, well, the water's not, it's not recycled coming out of the toilet, or is it?
No, it's clean water.
Yeah, so that would be, yeah, a drinking fountain. Well, wet my beak on that one, too, then, if you can. I just want my beak wet on this. I can just stick it over the bidet, okay. And it'll get wet.
I've never thought so much about Bob's beak as I have today. A lot of Bob's beak in this show.
Well, right, now Bobby, depress all of us with how fabulously wealthy you are. You went from $6 million before Shark Tank. Where are you now?
Well, so last year we did close to $30 million in sales.
Wow.
So it's pretty good, you know. We're selling a lot of this product, and this year we're going to grow again. And we're, you know, I mean, the retail world is really liking us. They're selling well, and then with our new products that we've released, the new Unicorn Gold, that's become pretty popular. So yeah, no, it's been good. You know, it's like the American dream. It really happened. It was this kind of product that I didn't know how big it was going to go. I thought, it's a good idea, and it's funny. I was attracted to it because every time I bring it up with my friends, just like you, it's something they were curious about and wanted to talk about. And I knew the marketing opportunities were incredible with it, and so I was attracted to it. But I didn't know it was going to go as big as we did. You know, we're like incredibly, like, you know, grateful, but also like just surprised at how this has taken off like it has. You know, it's awesome.
Well, but you came up with something that everyone has. You know, everyone has to poop at some point. And it's so. It's,
yeah, the market.
If not,
it's a recession. It's a recession-proof industry.
But now he's so rich, he can actually just pay two small Malaysian children to hold his feet up while he poops.
Do you offer that in the catalog? I think it's a great product. And again, like I said, my wife did get it, and she's let all her friends on Facebook know that's what she got for Valentine's Day. Without the tiara. She does, but she does. I think the thing works great. Even when I feel a little bound up, I sit on put my feet up, and boom, there it goes. Now, right.
It's also kind of, once you get used to it, right, it's fine. You hit it right on when you try and find that sweet spot, because it can be a little tricky at first when you try and navigate that toilet with your pants around your ankles and you're trying to squat, and it's a little awkward.
Well,
as soon as you get used to it, you find that sweet spot, it's like what Howard Stern said, you know, it's the best poop of his life.
Well,
more graphic language. But
I tried leaning back. That was not my sweet spot. A little lean forward is what did it for me. So it's
yeah. But everyone has your thighs and your
yeah. Everybody
talk faster.
Everybody has a different one.
So Bob, now that you've got the squatty potty at home, is it like going from driving a Cadillac to your kid's, you know, Chevy Cavalier when you have to go at home or you have to go at the office?
Now, you know what it's like? Remember a couple of weeks ago? It's like a dam that bursts. It's like opening up the dam. The first time I used it here, I'm sitting on it and I'm saying, oh, my God, it's just not going to stop.
There's going to be a Kevin-shaped hole in the wall in about 2 minutes.
That's why it makes such a great gift, because it's funny, right? It's something that somebody has or that a lot of people have. But then it works. That's great. You know, it helps people feel better and poop better. And it's a conversation piece. So I think that's why we've gotten a lot of success. You know, around Christmas is our busiest time. Mother's Day, Father's Day, and Christmas.
Valentine's Day is moving up there.
How about Labor Day? That would seem like the real marketing opportunity there.
The day after Thanksgiving probably would be your big day.
Oh, God.
For a lot of reasons.
For those of you who it's been like 9 months, you know.
Oh, yeah, Bobby, one more slogan idea for you. The squatty potty, it's the shit. All right, that'll do on that one. Bobby, I'll tell you.
There's hundreds of them.
Yeah, it's great talking to you, and great success. And the good thing about it is you give, like, the lifetime, the great warranty, but next Valentine's Day, she made you. You should come out with some pink ones for Valentine's Day.
or for right. red ones like a rose. Some you do have several colors, but how many of them are festive?
We have a pink one now. We have a clear one. It's awesome. We have nice wooden ones. The one that's made out of teak and bamboo.
I'm not paying that much.
All different styles.
How about a Mardi Gras one with beads?
Oh God damn!
Actually, when Bob gave it to his wife, he left little toilet paper squares leading into the bathroom. follow the trail.
You got to cut a deal with the NFL. Get a licensing deal. You can have one of your favorite NFL team.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Or your least favorite NFL team, depending.
Actually, you know,
here's the thing: if you could do it and have a deal with NFL Films to have NFL Films music.
Oh, wow. Inspiring.
Wow. Oh, my God. And John Facenda narrating.
You know, Bobby, his idea.
Hey, you know, we've actually sent some to the Phoenix, the Cardinals. We've sent them to several sports teams. The trainers, the nutritionists and trainers have ordered them for several NFL teams and MLB teams.
Have you ever, Bobby? So. Have you ever sent one to Gene Simmons of Kiss to see if he wants to do a Kiss licensed Squatty
Potty?
Oh,
that's the easiest one possible.
Yeah. That's the low hanging fruit.
Well, are you looking into licensing? Because that's a great idea.
It is.
He's writing it down.
I would approach the Browns first out of all the NFL teams.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
All right, but Bobby, we won't keep you anymore. Thank you so much. Bobby Edwards, the founder, inventor, along with his mom of Squatty Potty. And as you can tell, huge fans. Thanks a lot for taking the time. All right, take care.
Take care.
Bye.
Same plot as the movie Joy, by the way. Literally parallels that movie.
All right, you know, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the beer sales with Andrew Schmidt, and how many of you guys watched the greatest speech ever delivered by
Warren Beatty?
I was going to talk about the Trump one. No, by Trump. It was a hell of a speech.
Yeah, if you lower the bar enough, you can do great things.
And I also want to get your opinions, and then we'll come back and do that, on what Nancy Pelosi, Deborah Wasserman Schultz, and our very own Keith Ellison, I know that one side you sit, you don't clap, but to show the kind of disrespect they did to the widow of the Navy SEAL. I mean, I know some people, you know, think that, well, they didn't do it for anything else, but I think they should have. It didn't look good. And I'm just wondering what the optics were from you guys. We'll take a quick break. Come right back. Hey, do you love pizza? If you do, that means you love Chanticleer pizza. Chanticleer has been in business for more than 50 years, and you don't last that long in any business unless you're giving people what they want. Chanticleer delivers every time. Chanticleer features thin crust, New York hand-tossed, and a pan pizza. 11 Twin Cities locations with delivery and carryout. In Coon Rapids and Maple Grove, you will find the Chanticleer Pizza Grill, full bar restaurant, full menu, burgers, salads, pastas, pizza, of course, and much more. And there's great game day specials on Sundays during the football season. Chanticleer is your game day delivery expert for the football season. Chanticleer Pizza restaurants are independently owned and operated. For more information, go to chanticleerpizza.com. That's chanticleerpizza.com. Chanticleer Pizza, the clear choice for all pizza lovers. If your health care has become a burden, there may be a solution. The open enrollment period is here. This is your chance to make the change to reflect your faith. Solidarity Healthcare, a healthshare nonprofit, is taking the nation by storm and bringing faith back to healthcare, a program that honors your Catholic beliefs. If you're ready to take control, call Solidarity Healthcare at 844-313-4999 or visit their website at solidarityhealthcare.org and learn about healthcare for the common good. Solidarityhealthcare.org.
From the back door of your life, you
went back door. Nice job there, Tom Schreier, ColdOmaha.com. Kevin Cusick, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com, at the loop now. Brian Miller. What did you call it during the break? You have your own idea of the hunch of what?
Oh, well, you said Kevin bought the knockoff version, and I said, yeah, he got the hunch and dump.
That's why he's Brian Miller Comedy with a Y. And that real Brian Miller. Jeff O'Brien, business and leisure attorney extraordinaire, author, best-selling author in the making.
Yep.
How many pages into it are you yet?
I said it's halfway done.
You're as far along as you were 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, pretty much.
This is the book about how to get started.
Brew Law 101, the Minnesota edition.
All right, to do your own brewery. Mm-hmm. And from the brew family of people, well, the Minnesota beer
Activists. Yes, sir.
Now, did you start this just for to get Sunday sales? And
no.
Andrew Schmidt, by the way, no relation to the brewery.
No. In some way, I hope to weasel my way in there through genetics, but I don't think it's going to happen. but you know, well, the Minnesota Beer Activists were started, oh, I don't know, 5-6 years ago when the Surly Law first was proposed at the Capitol. And myself and some other...
What was that?
Well, it was essentially allowing...
Act mean? Surly?
The tap room law, the one that allows the breweries to have all the tap room. Before, they could not sell pints at their brewery. They had to just, you could even use tastings, that was it.
The law that drove all the bars in town out of business, right? That was the argument that was made by the traditionalists up at the Capitol. And myself and a few others, consumers, all got together and saw the situation as, you know, you've got brewers at the Capitol, you've got stores at the Capitol, you've got bars at the Capitol, you've got wholesalers. Everybody's putting their 2 cents in on this change for the beer industry to allow these tap rooms to happen, and nobody was asking consumers. So we started this organization to really engage and educate and give consumers a voice when it comes to liquor, wine, and beer in Minnesota.
Now, do you have a beer of choice?
You know, whichever beer is in my hand. you know, I'm a big fan of a lot of different beers, you know, and that changes with what I'm having for dinner, to my mood, to the time of year. So,
well, is there, okay, because I don't drink, or well, I don't drink beer, I don't really drink, but like you hear about, the, you know, a red or a white wine goes with certain food.
Mm-hmm.
Do certain beers go with certain foods?
You know,
What's a pizza beer?
It's all a preference. You know, there's no wrong answer, in my opinion. If I'm stocking up my refrigerator, I'm usually going with a Shell's Fire Brick. That'll
go with pizza.
That'll go with pizza.
Now, does an IPA go with pizza? Is that better with Chinese food?
Yeah, well, it all depends on your palate, right? I tend to like IPAs with spicier food. You know, when pairing a beer, I try to pair, you know, intensities or either complementary or contrasting flavors. It's not.
You are a connoisseur.
Well, I like beer. I like food. Anybody who sees me can definitely attest to that.
Which beer goes best with the Squatty Potty?
Which one will? I tell you what, there's probably a lot of animal fat and beer that the Squatty Potty
brown,
can help
brown
you
ale,
with.
Brown ale for sure. Brown ale.
So what's next for the beer activists? Like what's your next law that you want? I mean, this is the great white whale.
Great
of,
question. Or do you
it
disband?
Is.
Yeah,
know, and we're kind of in limbo right now. No, this is coffee in my cup. No, we all got together for a little happy hour the other night after the Senate signed things, and we're not really sure at this point. You know, this is a lot of work by a lot of people for a long time. There's definitely some fatigue there, and none of us really financially benefited from this grassroots activism. It was all just because stupid laws need to be changed.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to understate the accomplishment here, and I'm not just saying that because Andrew and the Minnesota Beer Activists are my client, or that he dubbed me the lawyer extraordinaire how many years ago.
Well, you're the one who came up with
he
that.
He is.
Yeah.
The what he just said about this is the first, or you know, advocacy organization for the consumer versus you know, the various other pieces, you know, players in the industry, and the fact that this rose to such a groundswell that the event that we got, you know, after 84 years of this being on that, this being the case, it's been around since statehood, but since Prohibition, this has been around. And you know, it's now Andrew and his organization are going to have to be a force to be listened to and reckoned with. And I think some of these other groups are going to, when they want something, are going to come to Minnesota Beer Activists to get the, you know, consumer support for a change. It could be the Brewers Guild, it could be the retailers on something else, it could be the wholesalers. They may want something. Now they've got a new player in the game that they could use with the grassroots to be able to get to, because, you know, because at the end of the day, the Andrew's constituents as the consumers are the ones that are going in November every year and voting for things.
How did it change? Why was it time right for these, for all these legislators, there are so many of them, to switch?
You know, I think, in my opinion, the big reason it changed is we talk about motivation, right? Legislators have got to be motivated to take a stance one way or another. And in my mind, the biggest change that happened was in November, when there was an election. There were folks campaigning on Sunday liquor sales. It was a part of their campaign platforms. And folks up at the Capitol, I think, saw the old position as untenable at this point, right? There was no political payoff for them to stand by a tradition when people are going to take them out for really no good reason. So I think it comes down to motivating folks to take a vote on the side of constituents. Sadly, I think common sense should do that, but that's not the way politics work.
Well, you know what's weird? Now, have you done 11:30?
Yeah.
Okay, you met my daughter?
Yes. Sam?
She was passionate about getting this thing passed. And I never, if I were to make a list of things that were vitally important to me, and I would think that the state, this would, no offense, but this would not be on the
absolutely.
List.
Absolutely, and it's not the fact that you can go buy a beer on Sunday. A lot of it, for me personally, and I think for a lot of people that got passionate about the issue, is the principle of the matter. Mm-hmm. When you've got an issue that's supported by 70-80% of the state, and legislators are not doing what is the popular opinion, what is a common sense issue, simply because they're being lobbied by special interest groups, mm-hmm. I think that's what gets people upset, and that's what gets people motivated.
Well, she had asked me before she told me what it was. She said, "We're doing a video." Very serious. Would you do it? And I'm thinking, well, geez, it must be a video about making, finding a way to have much more affordable health care, or maybe it could be something. Maybe someone's dying and they're looking to raise money for them, or some sort of a. Yeah, we want to get Sunday's liquor sales.
Yeah, it was when she was five and she was on Santa's knee, and Santa asked her,
"It was on
would
her
you
bucket
like
list."
Well, Santa, I'd really like Sunday liquor sales.
Well, if you sit next to Andrew Lee long enough, you're going to be very focused on Sunday liquor sales. That's the issue.
I have, Bob. I've been a very strong supporter of Sunday sales, and for the reason you asked about the impact on my clients, I truly believe that this was in Star Wars terms, this was the shot down the thermal exhaust port that blows up the Death Star. The special
not
interest
things.
The special
careful
interest,
too many women are going to come in and try to have sex with us
when I call the special interest the
where's
cartel
my squatty?
When I call them the cartel, I mean that they just throw money at the problem and they make things go away. And there's many things that I want for my brewers, my distillers, my wineries that I can't get because they're so well funded at the Capitol, and they just them talking about the liquor interests. And this was if you can take this down, you can take down the rest of it.
Well, give me your best guess on the percentage that will be open of the current of the liquor stores. How many will actually do it? Because there are smaller ones that they want a day off.
Yeah, in my opinion,
I think in the metro it's going to be a greater than 50%.
Yeah, and the great thing is none of them have to be open. That's going to be their choice. And I heard from store owners, up north in tourist areas and from lakeside stores where we'll be open in the summertime. When things get slow in the wintertime, we'll close.
Yeah.
And it's nice that they have that option.
Have restricted hours. We're going to be open from 11 to 4.
I can tell you the liquor stores in Stillwater are going to be open every Sunday.
Yeah.
Anything that's near the border where there were people jumping over the border, that's for the liquor stores that wanted it. They were losing business. There was a story in one of the papers this morning about the Wisconsin liquor store owners lamenting this passing because they know it's going to cost them revenue now.
So. Absolutely.
One of the funnest parts about this argument is the stuff that people don't think about. When we were in the Senate committee, we had a Paul from Hollywood Roadhouse out in Hollywood, Minnesota. He came and testified. He said, "We're an on-off sale combination. We've got people in our establishment already on Sunday, working the bar, we're already open. We'd like to open the other side of the operation as well." And there's a lot of across Minnesota.
I just hope that some liquor stores, because they just can't or don't want to be open, that they don't lose their stores because people decide they're going to go somewhere else because they try out a place they've never gone before.
What I've said other places, too, what this is going to do, just like for lawyers, when LegalZoom came around, when Rocket Lawyer, when the internet comes along, we had to adapt. We had to change how we do business. But we survive. And the same thing's going to happen here. The small mom-and-pop local liquor store has one thing that they can do better than the big boxes. If I go to my local liquor store and I want my favorite local beer in that liquor store, they will find it. They take my number and they call me and say when they've got it in. You're not going to get that at like a Target or some of these grocery stores. The locals are still going to be the best, the most adept to go source that through their distributors and go get that beer in. And that, I think, is what is going to be the big shift here. It's not they're not going to beat Total Wine selling national, you know, Budweiser cheaper than that. But they can go find your favorite local.
You know, that's a great point. You know, Jeff, those retailers already are competing 6 days a week with the big box retailers, right? And they probably lose out on some of the price due to economies of scale. But, you know, you've also got the fact that you've got liquor stores that are closer. You've got the more personal touch. You've got those relationships that those stores build with their local consumers that big box retailers are never going to touch.
And the wholesalers may have to cut their when a wholesaler buys beer from a brewery or buys liquor from a distillery, they then mark it up 30% before they sell it to the retailer. They're going to have to cut their costs to if these guys are going to stay in business.
If I had a liquor store, I guess I'd blow everything out because on Sundays, you get a lot of strippers who don't work. You hire them to do car washes. As you're getting you go in and shop. You got to be in there at least half an hour, though. You have to put a time limit or you have to spend so much money to get your car washed for free.
You have a lot of strippers who don't work on Sundays?
Well, I would think they must be, right? They
I'd don't... love to see you take this idea in front of Shark Tank.
He's just an idea machine today.
They already had that collapsible one. That really hurt me. I do think they should put the little hole in the thing so it doesn't get stolen.
Maybe now, virtual reality glasses with strippers while you use your squatty potty.
Oh, my.
Now,
you might need the bidet to clean the ceiling after that. This is like water torture for Gavin. This is waterboarding with horrible jokes.
Oh, you know what? Next week, the whole loop will be on this.
Humanity.
Now, I wanted to add, you guys, obviously, you all know or saw or watched the video of what happened at the Oscars. To me, the best part is Pricewaterhouse initially tried blaming Warren Beatty. Did you hear about the guy who screwed up, this guy Cullinan?
He took a selfie.
He was tweeting.
He posted a selfie, a photo of Emma Stone less than 90 seconds from when he was supposed to be
handling. That's all he does. They got a bunch of his photos I went through the years. He thinks he's a Matt Damon lookalike. So he's got shots with Damon. He was so full of himself. And I understand, at first you think, well, geez, this is impossible. How do you not just take that final thing? Well, we all know now there were two of them. And apparently there was another woman from Pricewaterhouse on the other side. They're on either side of the stage. In case somebody screws up and goes to the wrong entrance on stage, they give him the envelope. Well, he was so caught up with Emma Stone, he was still holding her envelope. And when Warren Beatty went by, he never got out the final envelope.
You freeze frame the thing as Beatty's holding it. There's a specific moment where the light hits it just right where you can read actress in a leading role.
Yeah,
in gold lettering.
But I don't see,
and that's why Beatty looks confused. And he's like, "This ain't right."
But I think he was showing it to Dunaway to show why he's not saying anything, not for her to blurt it out.
The envelope itself said actress in a leading role.
Well, that's at that point he says, "Hey, I just need to get the right envelope."
They should have seen this beforehand. But of course, what was happening was they were acting like a bunch of 2-year-olds the whole week, him and Dunaway, and they wouldn't even rehearse together. They had stand-ins for each other because
they not get along?
Well, not only did they not get along, but they were fighting over
who got to say it. Well, Faye, congratulations.
But it had already degenerated to the point that they wouldn't do rehearsals together, and then Beatty wouldn't do the one rehearsal where they film it for, I'm not even sure why that is.
I blame the Russians.
It's Putin. The Academy Awards have been hacked.
Yep. The weirdest part of it was, like, you know, when you see it the next day, you see it with the headline, they announced the wrong thing, so you know what it is going in. I was watching it live, and live it was confusing because when the guy said, oh no, Moonlight, you were the best picture, I'm thinking, does he mean this, like, metaphorically? Like, when Ving Rhames offered his Oscar up? And then I'm thinking, is this a Jimmy Kimmel prank that went really awry? That was my first thought.
I literally sprinted out of the newsroom. I basically hung around till she says La La Land, and because we were having a go away thing at Amsterdam down in downtown at St. Paul. So that's about a 3-minute drive from where we are now at the Pioneer Press. And all of a sudden, I'm getting like the alerts from like the BBC and the AP, and I'm wondering what the hell's going on. And then when I got to the bar, I heard that the F up, as it were.
I just love that the guy tried blaming, this Cullinan tried blaming Beatty, or Warren Beatty for screwing it up. He knows he's done.
Beatty tried to dump it on her, you know, because he was going to read it, and then he realizes, boy, this is screwed up here. I'll give it to her.
I think Beatty showed it to her to be like, this doesn't look right, right?
Exactly.
And, but when he was waiting for her to say, this doesn't look right, but she just said, La La Land, and yeah. he was like, bah, she said it.
They might have got away with it. It was the favorite.
Imagine.
Might've. It won the popular vote.
Imagine, however, imagine the insanity if they would have said Moonlight, and then they would have said, oh, our bad. La La Land. Oh, people would have been
There would have been riots in the street.
That would have been overturned cars.
I also, I love the fact that two guys went up and already thanked their moms.
No, the best one was the third guy.
He thanked his blue-eyed wife?
The third guy.
He said
Who was also bald. Already heard behind him, was already told that there was Moonlight. He still goes out there and gives a 30-second speech thanking so-and-so. Oh, by the way, we lost.
It was his mom. Was that the guy who announced it?
No, it was the other guy. It's confusing when there's more than one ball.
What would have been funny is if they would have, after they announced, the wrong movie, if someone would have got up and had this impassioned, political speech, and then they had to walk it back and say, you didn't win.
That would have been,
Oh, God.
Sorry, Meryl, but...
Yeah, that part was a bit tedious of the whole award show. The one that really bothered me the most was the guy who didn't show up but gave somebody his speech to read. And it's like, if you don't show up, you don't get to have a speech.
Well, it's because they were initially...
No, you have to be Brando if you're going to do that.
Were you thinking of the foreign filmmaker, it's because he was initially going to be denied entry into the country, and he was protesting the fact that they were trying to deny him entry into the country up until then. I think I might give him a pass.
One of the big problems the Oscars have is there is such a glut now of award shows, and they come at you rapid fire throughout this time of the year. You have the
Country
Spirit. Music Awards, then you have the Directors Guild, then you have the Grammys, and then last week was the Indie Spirit.
The Globes.
So
the Razzies.
Almost every week you have an award show, and at a certain point it's like, God almighty.
Mm-hmm.
I did win a bet at work, though.
You had Moonlight?
No, I said that they were going to be too lazy to get Bill Paxton into the montage of the dead.
Shameful.
Because it was too close to think. But, of course, they had someone in there who's actually living, so that was pretty funny.
Did they have did you see Miguel Ferrer in there? From RoboCop? Son of the other Jose Ferrer?
I thought they put Wade Pagoda in because they left him out last year.
Is he the one that was on NCIS LA?
Yeah, he's in a ton of shows. He's a great actor. He's in a ton of stuff, and his dad, Jose Ferrer, was one of the first.
I saw a makeup artist in there.
Yeah, I don't understand that because his dad was like one of the first major Hispanic actors.
He might have just. Yeah.
I heard you have to pay to get in the montage, do you not? Like a Hollywood star type of deal.
Where how do you do that? You're dead.
I don't know. Maybe your family ponies up. I have no idea.
Well, Paxton's family didn't come up with
the deal. Yeah, and it's like, it's a 2-second photo, and then there's like, you can't just kick somebody out, or just have the chick hold the final note a second longer.
How do you give such short shrift to Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds, too?
They were so far behind on time, though. This year, after a number of years where they were doing reasonably well, they blew their deadlines. They've ended up like 50 minutes over.
Oh, if they just would do the big six, the Actors Awards, the Director and Best Picture, they had the science thing that some other night, do all the other stuff or start it on cable.
Well, they've already decided to make it, give the show a little more oomph next year. They're going to fuck up the supporting actress to start it.
What they could do is beforehand figure out, okay, who all wants to give an anti-Trump speech, and then cut one of those cutaway videos and have everybody just do like a just write one anti-Trump speech, and they could all give it, and that would shave like
just
half
co-sign.
The award show. Right?
Have
just co-sign.
An anti-Trump award, and you could have a montage of like the six or seven.
Well, Meryl Streep would walk away with this.
And then it would have been.
Well, but by next year, he'll be beloved. Right, Brian?
Yeah, right.
All right, you know what? We're going to spend a minute. I want, because you are probably...
I literally didn't watch. I hosted a 3-hour show last night.
Where were you?
I was at the House of Comedy. I'm there all week, opening for Ali Sadiq.
Well, why don't you, you'd like buried the lead.
I don't know if that's the lead. I don't know that me opening for someone is ever the lead.
All right. But how long do you go?
All week.
Do you do 45?
I do like 25 minutes, spread out across two sets.
Now, because I know you're working on for the April show where it's all fresh material.
Yeah.
Now, I know all comics, sometimes your stuff is just platinum, not even gold. Did you take something from the April show and you had to put it in because it was so damn good?
No, I'm still. I have something I really wanted to do. Although I did announce the first comic, I said the first comic was a guy named Kevin Sawhawk because it was a showcase last night. I said, "Now everybody, welcome your first comic, La La Land." I got a nice response. I was happy with that.
So, okay, what time? What time does the show start? What time can they expect? You're
7:30. I'm the first guy. They do it Canadian style there, so they have it actually. You do the MC does 15 minutes, then you bring up another actor does 15, and then the MC comes back out for another 10.
So that's you're the MC.
Yeah. So I'm.
So yeah,
that's
you
why
break
the American system is so superior.
How did that be known as Canadian style?
That's how they do it in Canada. In Canada, the host is a bigger part of the show, whereas in America, it's just a straight escalation. It's gotcha. MC, feature, headline. In Canada, sometimes they'll even do two smaller acts in between, so the host is kind of the second biggest name of the show.
I think the hardest part of hosting is having to say something nice occasionally about some of the acts you're introducing that suck.
Oh, I burn them down. I say horrible things about them. I make fun of everybody.
Now, being Canadian style, do you pass out Timmy Hortons and poutine in between each act?
I was literally eating Tim Hortons in the back of the club last night because I love Tim Hortons. It's one of the best parts of work in the mall. Get a big suitcase full of Timbits. Oh, it was great. I put some whiskey in my coffee, nice. My Tim Hortons coffee. It was great. Nice.
Well, but being it sounds like it's a pretty good gig, though. I mean, a pretty good deal to be the MC. Yes, being the headliner is terrific, but it's got to be by far the next best thing, right? Being a feature.
Featuring is much more fun. Featuring is much easier because you have no responsibility. With a host, you're always on the clock. You're always like, somebody's going to be on. I got to be in the club. You know, when you're the feature, you have the least responsibility of anyone in the thing. You just walk up there, you tell a few jokes. The host has to get it started. The headliner has to finish it off.
The host, does he have a hook? Occasionally, like in vaudeville?
I've never been hooked. They have a big red light that they flash at you. If you get lighted early, that's a great shame. If you were a Japanese comic, you would fall on your sword at that point. If you get lighted early, you brought dishonor upon the club.
What happens if you have, like, epilepsy and they do the red
light? Then you've got a killer closer.
Yeah, then you're definitely done.
Well, what do you like, when they do these open mic nights, do they get a light at a minute? That's all they give them, pretty much, a minute or two? Or?
Usually when you're on short times like that, you do 30-second lights. So if you're doing a 3-minute set, you get it at 2:30. If you're doing a 5-minute set, you get it at 4:30.
Have you ever interacted with an open mic nighter and just told them, "Don't ever come back"?
No, I would never do that.
So you're encouraging everyone
everybody.
When they suck?
Everybody's bad when they start. Even people who wind up being great are almost uniformly terrible.
But
when
usually,
they start.
There's something funny in what they're doing.
You'd be surprised. Some of the best people start the worst. Sometimes the people who are a little bit okay at the beginning, they get a little cocky and they don't work as hard. And it's really more about grinding it out and doing the work.
What was the biggest uptick in what you did? Was it delivery or was it the jokes being funnier? Because delivery is a huge part of it.
I came at it from a writing background and I had no performative abilities whatsoever. So probably for me, it was learning how to just stand up there and not look like a total
idiot.
How
did you do it? From watching others or how did you?
Yeah, you just do it like a couple thousand times. Really? That's the end? Just do it a couple thousand times and then you get better?
All right, you're at
That's
House
what they say for the squatty potty.
you're at House of Comedy tonight?
Yep.
Well, through Saturday.
Tonight through Sunday.
Sunday? Wow.
Yeah. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Hosting. Yep.
So you want to get there on time because you watch the clock. And
yes, I'm the only guy. I'm going on at 7:30 sharp.
And then what about between now and the event here in April?
I think I'm doing a couple of sets at the Royal Comedy Theater week after
that?
Next. It's in Hopkins. It's a little showcase club. They do four or five comics, and so you don't really have a headliner. It's a four or five comic showcase.
Because there's more and more of those cropping up, which is good, because people that might not normally go and say, I don't feel like driving downtown. I don't want to go to the mall. They can go to a local place.
You know, I feel like the mall and Acme and Joke Joint all get completely different crowds. Like, I don't really think they compete that much. People at the mall are at the mall. People are going downtown to Acme want a really different experience than the mall. And then the Joke Joint is St. Paul people.
So at the mall, is it a tougher crowd?
Straight up. Absolutely.
They're not coming in. They don't go to the mall thinking, I want to hear comedy.
Right. It's like another thing. I mean,
they came in for Tim Hortons.
They came in for Tim Hortons, right. Yeah, no, and they're tourists. They're from everywhere. At an Acme show, you can pretty much know this is a Minnesota crowd. They have things in common that you can kind of unite them around. The mall is just, there's so many tourists from different places. They've never seen comedy before.
Are there
a lot of people in there snapping pictures of you?
Yeah, get a little more cell phone pictures. You get a little more selfies during the show. But they're good crowds. They just have to kind of get into the vibe.
All right, you know what? Let's get into the vibe with Ruth Lorden. Lousy transition, but we'll take a quick break. RuthLorden.com at Psychic Ruth. She's at the Medina tonight. Let's take a quick break. I want to hear from her
if a year from – did you, by the way, CNN's poll, the positive reviews or favorability of the Trump speech, 82%, and that's CNN, which means it was better than 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Brockett.
No, I just – CNN is the most pathetic, craven news outfit. They basically put Trump in office, and then as soon as they got in office, they immediately said he was the worst person in the world, and then he says one good speech, and then they're back on their knees
Trump's
again.
Trump's doing fine now until the next time he sends out an all-caps tweet,
yeah,
which could be any moment.
I mean, say what you want about Fox and MSNBC. They're consistent. CNN is just all over the map.
Well, he took the heat off of poor Kellyanne Conway, who will never kneel on a couch again.
Yeah, she'll do it on the Oval Office floor.
She wouldn't be the first.
That's right. That's been done before.
Oh, absolutely. There's a groove in the floor right there. Put your knees right in there.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Most of the time, you don't need an attorney, but there may come a time when you do. For many people, it's when they're involved in an accident. If you're in an accident and you're injured, you need an attorney. You need Bradshaw & Bryant. The law firm of Bradshaw & Bryant will make sure you know your rights. Many insurance companies don't want you to get an attorney, which is the best reason to get an attorney. And if you need one, you need to talk with Bradshaw & Bryant. They deal with the insurance companies. They settle things for you. There are no out-of-pocket expenses. They don't get paid unless you do. The attorneys representing you at Bradshaw & Bryant know what to do because they've done it before many, many times. At Bradshaw & Bryant, they believe in justice for the injured. It's more than just a slogan to them. Bradshaw & Bryant will use every legal tool at their disposal to protect your rights, be an advocate for you, and see that you are treated fairly. So, if you need an attorney, give Bradshaw & Bryant a call at 800-770-7008. That's 800-770-7008. Or visit their website at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That's MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. They're the attorneys to contact when you need help. They're the attorneys who will give you the help you need. SmartStart MN Ignition Interlock System knows getting a DUI can be a difficult time in your life. Besides the stigma and embarrassment of having a DUI, you have to worry about the possibility of losing your driving privileges. If that happens, you need to have a SmartStart Ignition Interlock System installed in your vehicle. The SmartStart Ignition Interlock System prevents a vehicle from operating if you've been drinking. With a SmartStart system installed in your vehicle, the state has to restore your driving privileges. SmartStart now is offering to come to your home or business to install its ignition interlock system. SmartStart has been available for nearly a decade, and it is the only locally owned and operated ignition interlock company approved in Minnesota. SmartStart has been involved in the crafting of Minnesota's ignition interlock program, and SmartStart representatives give seminars throughout Minnesota to clients, lawyers, and legislators. The people at SmartStart know it's a difficult time when you get a DUI. You'll find them to be compassionate, knowledgeable, and caring, and they can answer all your questions. SmartStart is run by attorneys who know the law. For more information, go to SmartStartMN.com. That's SmartStartMN.com or call 952-224-7050. 952-224-7050. And that's where you need to go if you get a DUI. Recently, you've heard me talk about the home builder, Thomas Brand Homes. But what you may not know is they do more than just build new homes. Tom Bernard partnered with his good friend and general contractor, Tom Huseman, and started Thomas Brand Homes after learning firsthand just how difficult it is to find a general contractor that you can trust and count on to do what they say. In addition to building beautiful custom homes, they are also your go-to general contractor for home projects, both large and small. From full basement, kitchen, and bath remodels to replacing inefficient windows and doors at a better price, it is higher quality than you'll find at any of the big box stores. For your home improvement projects, both large and small, give Thomas Brand Homes a chance. Call them at 612-545-5847. They'd love to meet with you and provide a free, no-pressure estimate. That's 612-545-5847 or visit their website at thomasbrandhomes.com. That's Thomas, B-R-A-N-D-T, homes.com. I think some people are getting a little tired of this song.
Sorry. This is last time.
Tom Schreier, ColdOmaha.com, Kevin Cusick. We'll run through all of it in a minute, but Kevin Cusick is here. Brian Miller is here. Jeff O'Brien and Andrew Schmidt and Psychic Ruth Lorden, RuthLorden.com, at Psychic Ruth, at the Medina tonight. And now, Ruth, the speech last night, will it have, a week from now, will people still be thinking good things of him? Somewhere.
Yeah, it's mellow. As you see, please stop playing that witchy song. Because
done.
As you see, The witchy spell did not quite work yet. And, you know, we give them the benefit of the doubt. So I don't like to be associated with that level of magic or mysticism. That's just not where I come from. I come from a higher plane.
Yeah, we'll get some witches to put a spell on Tom.
Oh, no, let's not do that.
Well, it apparently may very well be somewhat ineffective, but you can try. But the speech, he came off presidential. He, we'll see what he does. My psychic feeling is they're picking at straws to knock him down. Yeah, some of the facts, and it's on both sides. Now they're picking on straws. It's about him to put up and shut up.
All right, nice.
And we'll see if he does.
Nice choice for the Democratic response. I mean, I would have rather have heard Ellison or Pelosi or anybody, but
Colonel
a guy
Sanders?
That was so obscure.
Oh, that's what you know. That's just, you never want to have one of your big hitters in that because that's the sacrificial lamb spot. Every Republican promising Republican up and comer has been killed on that altar. Bobby Jindal, Marco Rubio chugging the water. Bobby Jindal blinking furiously and wandering down the staircase like M. Night Shyamalan's confused brother. I mean, there was so you want to put somebody who doesn't matter because the president has this big forum and. And you're just in there in a little green room talking
about the guy
thing.
Who's already out of office.
I just love the people sitting behind him, though. Just kind of like,
can we order now?
It was like American, American Gothic or whatever.
Yeah. I was told there was going to be pie.
Yes. Punch and pat.
That's how I got him there. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it does play out down the road. Now, Ruth, a good vibe of the day?
Is it, oh, yeah.
Okay.
But it's be cool, people. There's a ton of high energy, as you all just demonstrated, today, and we use it calmly and wisely, or it causes tantrums and volatility. Tonight is pure mystical magic. We can travel to other worlds, not recommended, or receive creative inspirations from the heavenly sources, preferred choice. We are living in magical times. Embrace the grace.
Well, I've been living in magical times ever since I started using that squatty potty. That's how we started the show, talking to the inventor, and we'll close it out that way. Ruth, thank you so much. RuthLorden.com, at Psychic Ruth. You can catch her tonight at the Medina Entertainment Center starting at 6 o'clock. Thank you as we go around the room. Kevin Cusick, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. At the Loop now, what are you looping?
We just did the best Super Bowl halftime shows, our countdown to Super Bowl 52, only 49 weeks away. And a shocking upset, U2 finishes number 2 to a certain local artist who played in the rain quite elegantly.
Soul
Up
Asylum.
With people?
Close.
Brian Miller?
Yeah.
Brian Miller Comedy? Let me finish it. BrianMillerComedy.com, at Real Brian Miller. He is at the House of Comedy tonight.
Yes.
Through Saturday.
Through Sunday.
Through Sunday. And Saturday and Sunday.
You almost can't avoid seeing me.
I'm sorry. But get there on time because he's very punctual.
Yes.
Starts at 7:30.
7:30 on the dot. I think the Saturday show starts at 7.
All right. And be one of those people who goes to see Brian Miller, not to go shopping for and coming in with your you know, your big Dilbert's bag, whatever the hell they, you know. Tim Hortons.
You can see me at Tim Hortons like 20 minutes before the show. That is where I will be.
He's much – well, he tries out his new stuff at Tim Hortons. So go there. Business and leisure attorney extraordinaire, Jeff O'Brien. Thank you again for taking my wife and daughter to the NFL Alumni Gala. Did either one embarrass you?
No.
Did they embarrass me?
No.
I have a much lower threshold for embarrassment. Did they talk about me at all? I didn't exist that night.
No, you were missed.
Stop it. Now I'm getting weepy. Andrew Schmidt from the Minnesota Beer Alliance.
Yes, sir.
It was a good run you had there.
Yeah, if folks want to follow along with craft beer, spirits, wine, they can follow that at mnbeeractivist.com, and they can tune in every week to the Minnesota Beercast at minnesotabeercast.com.
Do you do that with Andrew?
I do.
Oh, you're his whole co-host.
Yes, Sam.
Oh, you're the other half.
Sam
of the
produced it last week. Yes. That's me.
I did not know
again,
that.
Someone bearing the lead.
He's a broadcasting professional.
So when I asked if you knew my daughter, of course you do.
I absolutely do.
She produced the show last week,
didn't
she?
Yes, sir. Yes, she did.
Does she do it every week or just occasionally?
Just when she's around.
Okay. Oh, and Jeff, I was remiss. Your website?
Oh, jeffreyobrien.today. And I'll be at my office the rest of this week.
if you happen to be a brewery looking for representation or a distillery.
And by the way, I have a special appearance coming up at a starting at about 1:30 today. I'll be napping on my pillow.
All right.
Don't nap on your squatty potty.
Yeah,
that's gross.
I was gonna say.
we go again.
All right. Any more bidet jokes you want to work in?
I'll work on it. I'll workshop it. I'll come back next week.
And, of course, I saved not – well, I don't want to go get my big head best for last. But
oh, geez.
One of the best for last. One of the five best in the room as a guest for
nice.
Last. Tom Schreier from ColdOmaha.com. Check it out. Go to ColdOmaha.com right now. It is a new look. Is the Gelfand button up yet?
It is. As of right now, it is not up. It should be by the end of the week.
What about the Gelfand centerfold?
It's coming next. It's coming next.
You should get a shot of like that old thing that
Reynolds
did.
Yeah.
Mike on some sort of a white rug or white animal rug. That's what it was, right?
A buddy of mine got his head very professionally photoshopped onto that Burt Reynolds photo and gave it away to people in a giant frame poster for Christmas. It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Or it could be like Joe Namath. If pantyhose make my legs look this good, imagine what they do for you.
And it's still coldomaha.com or zonecoverage.com.
Yeah, both moving in the same
I'm
place.
I'm calling it up now to give my initial reaction to it. Zone Coverage, home of Cold Omaha.
There we go.
It's a very eye-appealing.
Yeah, I think it's better than the red.
And, you know, actually, when you go down to the photo, you got a shot of Richard Pitino. He looks like a young Mike Gelfand in that photo.
Gelfand would not want to hear that.
Or an old Burt Reynolds.
The difference is Gelfand will still be in town in a year.
Some advice.
Yeah.
Don't put him under more. Make sure it says Gelfand. Don't make him a more button.
The podcast button's going to be out.
I was going to say, Minnesota United out, but you need to be buddies with them, right?
Yeah.
Wild out. They treat you like hell.
They're doing well, though.
Thank you again to our listeners. Thanks to our sponsors. Thank you to everyone. Thank you to you guys. We will talk to you later. I just got to tell you.